You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Today, U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Victims and family members address the Boston Marathon bomber in court today. AP correspondent Rita Foley reports.
A woman whose daughter was killed told Johar Tsarnaev that the jury did the right thing sentencing him to death. A victim who lost a leg said Tsarnaev couldn't possibly have had a soul to do what he did. The father of an 8-year-old boy who was killed said Tsarnaev could have backed out of the plot and turned in his older brother Tamerlan, who died during a shootout with police. Instead, he said, Tsarnaev chose death and hate. Much of the time, Tsarnaev looked down. The attack killed 3 people and wounded more than 260 others. I'm Rita Foley.
And even though Tsarnaev showed no emotion during the entire trial, he apologized to the victims' families today. France's prime minister says the U.S. must do everything it can to repair damage to U.S.-French relations. The demand comes after revelations the NSA eavesdropped on French officials. A North Carolina man is in custody of federal authorities who say he planned assassinations in the U.S. in support of ISIS. 19-year-old Justin Sullivan of Morganton faces several charges, including one count of attempting to provide material support to the Islamic State group. Sullivan was arrested Friday in his home without incident after his father turned him in. He is expected to make his initial court appearance Monday. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com and give us a like on Facebook. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's 4 o'clock. It's actually 4:04 on June 24th. And if you happen to be listening in the New Jersey area, Hunterdon County particularly, because we are streaming live from the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce radio station. Tonight, the forecast mostly clear with a low about 58, northwest wind about 5 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. Thursday, chance showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m., increasing clouds with a high near 84. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers likely after 9 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low about 63. Friday, showers likely mainly before 9 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 81. Showers continuing again, chance of those on Friday night after 9 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low of 61. And then same thing happens all day Saturday, partly cloudy, high 71 and a low 58 all the way through. Sunday, same thing, high of 70, low of 57, mostly cloudy. And then chance of showers on Monday, partly sunny with a high of 75. So that's the weather forecast. I wanted to let you know, if you're listening out there, about it's official. There's going to be a nonprofit best practices event held at the Palace at Somerset Park on October 8th, sponsored by Unity Bank. And if you're a nonprofit out there, it's best practices. It's for New Jersey-based nonprofits, and it's a very, very interesting program. It's offering CEU credits. You can sign up at nonprofitawards.com. mariahmedia.org. Learn about it. You can search Mariah Media with two R's and learn about it. The featured speakers are Hunterdon County-based Steve Califer. He's a philanthropist, as you probably know, just an awesome person and very generous, as you know. He's award-winning film producer, owner of Somerset Patriots, founder of Flemington Car and Truck Country. And his keynote speech is about what does a benefactor look for in a nonprofit. So if you're a nonprofit, I'm sure you're going to want to meet him and find out what it is that they look for. That, you know, there's so many asks out there. What makes the difference? And then also Leah Pontani is director at Mercer Institute of Management and Technology Training. She's going to be speaking about board member leadership qualities and grant writing. The money's there. If you know how to ask for it in writing, it's there. And so she's going to share that with us. Ellen Nardoni is the trustee of the Paul R. Nardoni Foundation, and she's going to speak about how to differentiate your nonprofit from the rest. And then David Gray, executive director of the Pennsylvania Ballet and the former president of the Center for Nonprofits in New Jersey. So that's going to be a day to be associated with. If you happen to want to sponsor, there are opportunities available. If you want to get in front of 150 nonprofits, then all you have to do is get in touch with Mariah Media. And you can look online at Mariah with two R's, Media, and you'll be able to find us. So now we're going to go to our Talented People interview. We're going to go on location in Pennsylvania to the Little Vault of Heaven.
Talented People is on its way further in the Poconos. We're on our way to visit with Belle Mare Mahar. She is the owner and operator of a little place called the Little Vault of Heaven.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy with Talented People. We're continuing our conversation about Ernest J. Mahar's book, Uncle Joe and His Sister Flo, Through the Eyes of Bunny. One of the characters inside the story is Belle Mare Mahar, and she's with us today. We're actually visiting her Little Vault of Heaven statue recycle shop up in the Poconos of Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So nice to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am a grandmother of 20 grandchildren, 8 girls and 12 boys. And I started doing this business almost 20 years ago now. It's been almost 20 years.
Yeah. How many statues have you recycled?
I know it's way over 1,000.
It's amazing. Okay, so let's just explain what recycling a statue means.
Okay.
Because I think it's fascinating. I know a lot of you out there might have a statue in your yard. Maybe your mom or dad had it and you remember it as a child. And then over years, it falls apart. And what do? Belle Mare Mahar's Little Vault of Heaven in the Poconos is one of the only shops like yours that restores these beautiful statues. And like you said, you've done over 1,000 of them.
Yes.
So tell us, how did you get into this?
Well, I was telling Colleen a little bit earlier, I was in New Orleans, and my husband and I were having a vacation there on, not Bourbon Street, but St. Ann Street, and we were walking by, and I saw the statue in the window that was a mess. And I said, and it was a woman's boutique shop, had all the feathers and all that, and what was the statue doing in there? And the woman said that they had about 8 statues that we ended up bringing home from there, but they told me it was St. Thomas Aquinas. He's the first doctor of the church, and it was a rare find, and I was so excited I brought it home, and now my son has it, Stephen, because he loves it. So
it's interesting because you had not ever thought of going into the statue repair business, and you weren't an artist.
No.
You were a homemaker.
Yep.
With all of the kids, we remember that you were wallpapering and painting and everything throughout those years. So you kind of trained yourself on how to restore these.
It's true. But I think God sets you up for something like this. I never knew why I had to fix all the things I had to fix in my whole married life. But I found out when I got here that's exactly why I was being taught.
And in this part of the room, come in here, Colleen.
Mm-hmm.
This is my work area where I do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the separate part in there. So these are all to be done. Now, I've already started repairing them. And then I have to sand them and get them ready for painting, clean them. Cleaning and sanding and building. Like, for instance, let's take this statue of Jesus, which was totally broken. This is a actual planter to put plants in. And it was several pieces a mess. I put it together. You see how the glitter hides? You can't see what goes wrong. I will put fake flowers in here, but if somebody, like I am growing aloe for people that are sick now, and I'm going to put aloe plants in them.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do with these, is put aloe. So I'm preparing him. He didn't have a hand, so I'm building him a hand, and then that will finish it out here. I'll just repaint it. It will look good when I'm all done.
We're looking at a video of talented people on television. It's a Belmir Mahar interview, owner of the Little Vault of Heaven, and you can look it up on YouTube if you want to see some of these pieces that she's restored. That's where the music's coming from, so just stand by for a second. We'll get back to our news break and conversation with Belmir Mahar.
I'm Dave Lyon with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is offering chamber members ways to find new customers during this difficult economic environment with the Hunterdon County Chamber Mail Program. The Hunterdon County Chamber Mail Program is a direct mail program which targets new homeowners and renters shortly after they move into the Hunterdon County area. The new resident program offers limited advertising space on a first-come, first-placed program and provides new residents with ongoing access to member ads and promotions through online web links. This ad program is only available to members of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, so act quickly to reserve your space today. For more information on the Hunterdon County Chamber Mail program, visit www.hunterdon.chambermail.us or contact Hunterdon County Chamber Mail representative at 1-800-267-3139 or email at adinquiry@chambermail.us.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Okay, welcome back to Talented People. It's about 4:15 on the 24th of June, and we're listening to a conversation with Belmir Mahar up in the Poconos about her shop, Little Vault of Heaven, that repairs statues. Used to be just religious ones, but now she's moved into all different types. So let's listen in.
Tell us about some of the garments that you also make.
Well, the Infant of Prague, I'm a Carmelite, and our devotion is to the Infant of Prague, one of the many devotions we have. But it's a statue of the child Jesus when he was presented in the temple. And so I think it started years ago in Spain is where it started. And the queen there, she received a statue of the Infant of Prague, and they had it dressed up very pretty and frilly with all kinds of laces and gold and all that. People who love Jesus love to make him look really good. So I just started getting him, and then I would get the first costumes. I would just take what they had,
with the statue and redo it, like put pretty little gold flattering, you know, glittering things right over the top of it and beads and whatnot. But now I actually got into making my own too, and I like doing that. So this is Jesus, the Divine Mercy. This one, this side here was just a silver, like wire, and this was copper. And I put glitter of red on this side and silver on this side to represent the blood and body and blood, a heart, you know, the blood and water coming out of the heart of Jesus.
That's beautiful.
So I got that up in the, actually at EWTN, which I tell everybody, if you ever get a chance to go to Birmingham, Alabama, everybody in the world should go there once a year to Mother Angelica's temple for the Lord. It's not like anything you've ever seen. It is so holy, it's beautiful. Everybody should go there. And so then anything that you see that has little signs, I'm saving it for mostly my grandchildren.
Well, one of the other things I think is so neat is that people will come to you and say, I want you to repair my statue. Mm-hmm. And then you can do that for them.
Yes.
And then people will come to you and say, I have these beloved statues that I don't know what to do with.
Exactly.
And then tell us about what you do with those.
Well,
especially like with Hurricane Sandy victims.
Yes, no, it's true. Well, some of the statues that I get that they don't want, usually people want them to get hand on to their grandchildren. That's the number one thing. Like they will say, this was my mother's or my aunt's, or I have fond memories that I'm going to give it to my niece or my daughter or somebody.
Sentimental value.
It's a sentimental value. And I feel really excited to be able to help them that way because I know that feeling myself.
As she told us, Belle Mare is a grandmother of 20 grandchildren. She gave us a little tour of all the things that she had put aside for them.
I love to repair the statues and make them look beautiful. So my granddaughters picked these two, and my one son, grandson, he wanted this. He just got his first communion, Peter. And so I went ahead and gave it to him, but then my son JJ came home, who's going to be a priest, and he saw it, and I said, which one do you like as far as costumes? Because I said, I can make it look more like a priest with this costume. Or, you know, I can give you a plain. He goes, so he liked the one that I originally had for him, but it's okay. I said, not a problem. I can make another one. Wow. So I will make him one. And little Joey liked this statue of the Blessed Mother, which I kind of straightened it up because it had a lot of little cracks and broken pieces from it. And this is for my granddaughter, Marie. That when she gets married, she gets that. Okay, so that's...
And then they have... and then I'll also take the statues. If they don't find a home, I call it finding a home for them. If they don't find a home, then I donate them to needy people in different aspects.
I took a bunch of stuff down to the Sandy victims after they had the hurricane, and it worked out really well because... A lot of stuff, I just, if I don't sell it in a certain period of time, I give it away to needy people. And that's what I'm going to do. I will fix them all up so they'll all look
well,
really good.
I bet you it brings, like, somebody like a Sandy victim some kind of a comfort.
Yeah, because they lose their stuff in that flood, and that's it. So I was happy to do it. It was fun. I enjoy it very much.
Whatever.
Especially
a lot
like
of people will ask me, like, you know, unwed mothers, they'll have, what's it called, the home from unwed mothers, and that people will come up and say, do you want to donate a statue for fundraising? And I will do that, you know. So I try to do that type of a thing when I can. And the important thing is it's very exciting to have the children come into the shop and see something, get very excited about it, you know.
And tell us about that.
Well, that's the only thing.
Do you teach them how to paint? And what
I have not got into that yet, although I keep, in the back of my mind, keep thinking I want to do that. And I do have a lot of my grandchildren. They like to paint. And then when they come, they can't wait to paint. And in some ways, it makes me not want to teach them because I see how much work it is. But I do think down the road. I have one granddaughter, Marie, is very interested in doing the painting. And my grandson, Michael Dean, he likes to do crafts and, you know, things like that. So he can do that. And so I'm excited. I hope it'll work out.
This is where, these are my daughters, from my daughter's house. It's not the Jesus and the Joseph, but, I mean Mary and Joseph.
But the goose and the St. Anthony and the angel, I will be repairing all of that for her to put in her garden.
And tell us about when you were at your local Catholic church and they needed to have their nativity set redone. That was just recently.
Oh, just
exquisite.
Recently.
Yeah.
I just was bowled over. It was 20 pieces, very big, beautiful, beautiful old nativities from the 30s or 40s. And because they had been in their basement for, you know, maybe 50 years, I was able to do anything I wanted. So I completely redid them, the whole ones. And Mike has a, you know, picture of them if you want to.
We will get the picture. We'll grab it for the photograph.
Put it on there with it, but they turned out really beautiful. I even
and yeah, they had them on display too for the whole town to see.
The whole church and everybody and everything. And I had a man came up to me from our church, and he said he worked in New York City in advertising, and he never saw anything so beautiful. He was like, "Oh my God, how beautiful!" But
I saw them, and they were beautiful.
He did.
Yeah, what a compliment.
Yeah, it was a big.
So it must be so rewarding for you to actually be able to take something so sentimental and then put your heart into it.
Yeah.
And then let them take it back home and then take it on to another generation. And
It's true. And you know, today there's not an awful lot of those statues. All the stores are showing the acrylic. Although they are beautiful, they are very hard to repair, extremely hard to repair.
Mm-hmm.
And but they are beautiful, but the old ones, you don't really find them unless you get them at a garage sale.
And what are they? What are they? They're so heavy.
They're ceramic or white plaster.
Dead weight, heavy.
They're very heavy, but I like them.
Oh, but they're beautiful.
Concrete.
Right.
A lot of concrete. I've even done concrete that belonged outside, inside, you know, for people to have them inside. So
where are you going from here?
Well, my husband wants me out of the business.
It's a lot of work. What do you want?
It's a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding about the money. It's not that much money into it. That's why he wants me out of it. But the truth is, I think another 5 years, but then I say to the Lord, well, if you want me to do this, Lord, you'll have to send me the statues because I'm not going to go trying to recruit them anymore.
Hope you enjoyed that. That's an interview. Actually, it was a television interview on Talented People Television with Belmehr. That's B-E-L-M-E-H-R Mahar, 100 County past resident for a long time. And she's the owner of the Little Vault of Heaven up in the Poconos. So if you have a statue that you need to have restored, you should get in touch. You could look them up on the internet. We're going to go to our news, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to listen to a really interesting conversation between two ladies who work down at the Jenkinson's Aquarium down at the Jersey Shore, and they're going to tell us the story about what happened with like 4,000 of their different species during Hurricane Sandy with the blackout for like 10 days and the volunteers that stayed there. And honestly, the story brought tears to my eyes, so I want to share it with you, so stay with us through the break.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Zohar Tsarnaev said he was sorry. The Boston Marathon bomber addressed victims and families today in court and apologized. Then he praised Allah. The victims also spoke. One woman said Tsarnaev did not succeed in his mission.
Rebecca Gregory, who lost one of her legs in the bombing, told Tsarnaev, "I am not your victim and I am not your brother's victim." She said that the attack had only made Boston and America unite.
That was AP correspondent Denise Lavoie. Also today, the judge formally sentenced Tsarnaev to death. Police in New York now believe David Sweat and Richard Matt are armed. A few days ago, the escaped killers were spotted in a cabin in the woods, and police say most cabin owners in that area have weapons, but authorities remain confident they will be captured.
Whether it ends here today in Owl's Head or whether it's an indeterminate amount of time going forward, we will resolve this case.
That was Major Charles Guess from the New York State Police. This is USA Headline News.
Want a more colorful summer? Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains during the Great Summer Painting Party, June 21st through July 6th. With colors like Beach House, Julep, and Fireworks, summer never looked better. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store and save 30% today. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Everyone knows the proper way to start your day is with a long, hot, luxurious shower. That's why we've created ProperSoap.com. We're called Proper because we're properly pure and natural, with no parabens, dyes, or harsh chemicals. 100% pure vegetable soap. We use rich shea butter and olive oil to moisturize naturally. And best of all, we think it's proper to give back. So when you shop ProperSoap.com, you're funding clean water and sanitation programs in villages across the globe. Shop ProperSoap.com and get proper.
President Obama held a press conference earlier to discuss the needs of families of hostages being held overseas. He says the U.S. will continue its policy of not paying ransom, but families have never been prosecuted for paying.
No family of an American hostage has ever been prosecuted for paying a ransom for the return of their loved ones. The last thing that we should ever do is to add to families' pain.
But even though families have never been prosecuted, some experts say announcing it makes Americans more vulnerable to kidnappings overseas. The body of Clementa Pinckney has arrived at the South Carolina State House so people can pay their respects. He was a state senator and pastor at Emmanuel AME Church, killed last week in the deadly shooting. Services will be held Friday. And the interim church leader, Reverend Norval Goff, says his message will be a positive one.
We lift up, even in the midst of tragedy, we still must press forward and move forward with the understanding that we can make this world and this community and our nation a better place to live.
President Obama will deliver the eulogy. This is USA Headline News.
This is Nick.
Yo, Nick. Hey, what's up, man?
From beach to classroom, early mornings, 5 days a week. That's why he stops at Exxon and Mobil for fuels that help his engine run cleaner, smoother, and with better fuel economy. So Nick's mornings go a little easier. At least until his students get to class.
Take your seats.
Nick is energy. Exxon and Mobil. Energy lives here. Visit Exxon.com or Mobil.com for more information.
The NFL commissioner is keeping his own counsel on Tom Brady's suspension. AP correspondent Warren Levinson reports.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has given no indication how long he'll take to rule on Tom Brady's four-game suspension. The New England Patriots quarterback and his lawyer spent 10 hours with the commissioner Tuesday. Attorney Jeffrey Kessler says he thinks they made a good case. If Goodell leaves any part of the suspension in place, Brady could take the case to court. That would lengthen the controversy over underinflated footballs used in last season's playoffs. The Patriots are, of course, vitally interested in the outcome of the case, and time is getting to be an issue. Training camp starts in 5 weeks. Warren Levinson, New York.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is defending the timing of today's ceremony to sign two bills that loosen the state's gun laws. He says it was scheduled before last week's church shootings in South Carolina. He also says pulling back on the ceremony would have given people what he calls the erroneous opinion that the measures had anything to do with what happened in Charleston. One bill eliminates the state's 48-hour waiting period for handgun purchases. The other allows retired offices to carry guns on school property. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal will launch his presidential campaign later today. 44-year-old will deliver a speech in the New Orleans suburb of Kenner, where he lived as a congressman. He won election to Congress at age 82 and became governor 4 years later. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Welcome back to the show, and thanks for listening in. It's Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's 4:29 on June 24th, and I wanted to share with you a conversation on the assistant director, Katie Kennedy, and the director of Jenkinson's Aquarium, Cindy Kloss, were interviewed telling us about exactly what happened during the chaos of Hurricane Sandy and how they were able to have the staff who volunteered to stay without any electricity for about 10 days. Listen to this amazing interview. I hope you enjoy it.
I'm Cindy Kloss, director of Jenkinson's Aquarium.
And I'm Katie Kennedy, assistant director.
When Sandy hit, we had assembled a group of people to stay at the aquarium for to ride out the whole storm. And it was the first time in the history of the aquarium, which is at this point 20, 3 years old, that the walls in the basement, the breakaway walls meant to break away in a storm, actually broke away. This goes back many years, our story, as far as having protocols and procedures in place. We are lucky enough to be part of an association of zoos and aquariums in the country called AZA, and they're really about animal care and conservation, and they're also about making sure that you have protocols in place, procedures for all kinds of things, whether it be safety issues, hurricanes, tornadoes, that you always, it makes you stop and think like, okay, what could happen in an emergency and how do we basically carry out our crisis communication plans and things like that. So we were lucky in a sense that there was a hurricane the year before. So it gave us a chance to put all of our procedures in place. You know, we came up with a command center on our second floor where we would put all of the things we thought we would need during a crisis when power might be out. So batteries and filters, food for the staff. We actually stayed for Irene, thinking it was going to be a much bigger deal than it was. Everything that was in the basement went out of the basement during the breakaway. So basically, you have the storm, the height of the storm, the electricity goes out. And then we were checking things, watching how things were going. We got some of the smaller tanks running on battery-operated filters. We had some of the staff going around constantly checking that. And at some point, we heard this awful loud noise, and that was when the walls were giving way. So of course we had updated all of our fire sprinkler systems the month before, so we had gone over and above. We have visual beacons all over the facility, including the basement. We have
obnoxious sounding alarms,
nicer piping, and when the concrete walls blew out, they took some of the sprinkler system with them, which meant all the alarms went out through the building, getting the staff even more nervous as to what was occurring. And that was the water coming through, taking everything in the basement except for one holding tank. Everything else was washed into the parking lot and surrounding neighborhood. And then it left four feet of sand in the basement for us to deal with after. So that's what was going on at this point. And, you know, we weren't sure what that meant for where the ocean might be at the front of the aquarium. You know, we weren't sure if it was right at the front doors or if it was just going underneath the boardwalk. We had no way to look outside. It was dark. So our first priority was to move the penguins, all of them, from the exhibit, their new exhibit at the time, and we moved them to a small room upstairs. It's a quarantine room we would use for, you know, new animals and whatnot. And you figure the penguins are used to a large exhibit now, and now they have to go to this tiny room, so they're fighting with each other, and they just didn't get us. We were all bringing them upstairs one by one.
It's dark, and the penguins, we use them for education programs, so they're used to being handled. But there's definitely some that aren't as friendly as or comfortable with it as others. So, I mean, you're in there with your headlamp trying to get to them, and they're like, what is going on to begin with? The alarms are going off. I mean, everybody's tension levels are up to here. And so we get them all upstairs, and we had just redone the exhibit. It was brand new. So that was the weakest wall, and it was the ocean-facing wall. So it was like, as soon as we knew the ocean was coming through the basement, it's like, we gotta move the penguins. Like what if that structure, when they put it back up, isn't as strong as it was when it first started? So it was a priority to get them moved up there, though they were not happy about it.
And we unfortunately kept watching the Weather Channel and watching the computer, so we'd see this large storm coming to us. I think one of the funniest moments for us, if it could be funny, was we were trapped in here. We have the hurricane boards up. We're watching the Weather Channel, and they're talking on the Weather Channel with their, I guess it was Mike Seidel, and he's reporting from the front doors of the aquarium. So we're going, hey, that's
he's
our
right
building.
Outside. We had no idea.
And then they left. So we knew that that doesn't bode well, because if the Weather Channel leaves, we're in trouble.
I watch Al Roker out there and get blown away all the time, and I'm like, okay, the Weather Channel left.
They left us. We really did a great job, and if you looked at the personalities of the eight people that stayed, you would say, it's not going to work. We're all from different backgrounds, and we're, you know, I could see us wanting to tear each other apart, and we did great. No one,
yeah.
Everybody, you know, we had to take shifts because the generators were running. You had to refill them with gas like every 4 to 6 hours. And then we had to check all the littler tanks had battery operated,
air pumps.
So you had to go around every couple hours, would set our alarms if it was in the middle of the night, and a team would go around checking temperatures and to make sure they were running. And the first day we did pretty well. It was batteries that were dying. That was it. But by the 36th hour of this, it was even the pumps that couldn't handle it. So then we were running out of actual pumps for that.
But amazingly enough, we did not lose one animal during the entire time that we had no power. And it was Thursday night at midnight, I guess midnight Friday morning, that we, a large green generator, which we had called way before the storm had hit to say we wanted, but so did everybody else in the tri-state area. So we were on a list, but it arrived that night, and our electricians were there right as they arrived at midnight, hooked it up, and then we were able to turn on all the lights and get all the real pumps working, so we weren't having to rely on the battery operated or the gasoline generators.
By having the communication plan and to know exactly what we were going to do, at what point do we maybe get rid of the animals and let them go
to another facility,
at what point do we say, no, we can keep them? Those were all questions we had talked about with the management, so we knew exactly what we were going to do. And to know that they could come, the contractors come immediately and help us, because that really
is what... They were amazing, too, because they bring hot coffee and, like, do you guys need anything? And, I mean, one lives in town, so, I mean, he came with thermoses and...
And the support from the owners, too. I mean, they were in constant phone contact with us. You know, if we weren't sure what we could do, or, like, I had forgotten that the walls were breakaway walls, you know, there was a point where it was like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, they were there on the phone to say that's what they're supposed to do. Is the water flowing through the basement? It was. That's what it's supposed to do. So we didn't have to worry so much about the structure or the integrity of the basement or the building itself. We knew that the basement was well constructed. They had looked at that when they were designing the aquarium, so they knew it could withstand something like that. So we really were lucky that they had that foresight when they were building. And because we were part of that AZA, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, it is like a family. And so there's 224 accredited facilities in the country. And a good portion of them called or sent emails or got word to us through other people to say, like, they could come up with tanker trucks of salt water if we needed it. And others offered, you know, any kind of financial help, that even the ones across the country and ones that thought they could store some of our animals in holding until we could get our feet back on, you know, back on the ground. It was incredible to know that we had this group of people who were so willing to help.
Even our local community, I mean, we had donations of D batteries and gasoline, like, to the point where, I mean, it was like, oh my goodness, like, they were so great. And as soon as they heard, I mean, we were in a bubble in here. We had no idea what was going on outside. We just knew about the animals and what we needed to do to get through until we could get the generator or, like, real power going. And, I mean, they would just stop by and just drop off. We were getting boxes from Amazon. Like, people would go on their computer and just have them delivered right here. And, it was tough because you didn't even get to say thank you to everybody, because it wasn't like they were showing up to hand it to you. But,
no.
I mean, the support of AZA and the general community was just, it was...
Some of them brought pictures, and some of the schools, after we reopened, because it did take a couple months to open, and some of the schools had sent little photos that they had drawn. And for us, because we were here and not at home, a lot of us ended up having damage to our home. So that was another stress, was that we couldn't even think about that or deal with that because we were so tied up with here. And you know, it really did, you know, once you were allowed to go home, because we were here for, you know, Katie was here for a week. By the time she went home to a house that had no electricity. And at that point, we'd had a snowstorm. So trees had fallen. And now you have other, you know, other problems to deal with in addition to, you know, your work.
Even during the storm, like, before and after, like, I would go out in the back, like, to check the weather and how things were going. And, I mean, you'd see the transformers going off, and you knew it was like, oh, this is going to be terrible when they try to get the electric back up and going. It's going to be a big job.
Right. We watched the poles fall in the parking lot before we even lost power. We watched as others lost power, and we watched shingles coming off of roofs. And even now, all this time, like, so we're allowed to go home, and roads are closed, and roads are flooded, and it's kind of like, oh gosh, you know, and you are just living, it's sad. Everybody's sad, and they're walking around very stressed, and you just don't know when it's going to come out that, you know, they're going to feel as rotten as they do. And then they opened Route 35. So you think like you're kind of getting over it. Then they open like one of the main routes for a lot of our staff to take to get here. And you have to drive down this route where you see houses on top of other houses. And
or just gone. I mean, you're, yeah, missing houses. And like, you see ocean. I was like, you never saw ocean here
right,
before.
Right.
So it's eerie. And I mean, to this day, taking that route, it's definitely not the way that it was.
No, you still see neighborhoods around the aquarium that are just beginning to raise their houses, or just houses that are sitting there, and you know they haven't been touched since the storm. So you know it's going to take a long time to finally. It's nice and encouraging to see a lot of work getting done and construction getting done. We were very lucky that our owners had business interruption insurance was a real big one. So, you know, we needed to keep our staff on in order to take care of our animals and to still, you know, in order to keep everything going. We may not have been open to the public, but it was important to have them, and we were able to keep them thanks to that insurance. So that was a big one that
yeah.
we didn't, you know, that's not something we end up having to ever discuss
yeah,
with them.
We don't
so
think about that, but
we were lucky that they had made those contingency plans, and we could continue to keep the staff on to get us back in business again, open to the public. So
I hope you're enjoying this conversation. I honestly cannot believe how awesome the team and the staff are over at the Jenkinson's Aquarium. Colleen Kelly, my business partner at Mariah Media, and I went down to listen to this interview about 6 months ago. And it was just incredible to think about what they all had risked because they just love their species. And also, I have to give a shout out to the owners of the Jenkinson's Aquarium because they treated their employees so greatly that you could feel it just by talking to these people. So we're going to go to our quick breaks and then back to the end of the conversation. Thanks for listening.
Hi. I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel,
iron. In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend and
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. There are tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to forwardnewjersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, Class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the Class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information today.
It is not open like the seals wanted to eat when they were supposed to, and the penguins wanted to eat, and the tanks still needed their water changes. So, I mean, for the most part, we still had to run day to day, as we do every day, just without people to give the tours and answer questions. So, and I'll tell you, it was almost depressing. Like, the public gives the building life. At first it was like, we can get so much done. Like, we can do this project and that project, because if you don't have to worry about those things. But, as the days wore on, it was definitely like, we're here to educate. And without them, then we're just here. Like,
and we noticed some of the animals, we watched the animals as the storm was approaching, because we wanted to know, like,
could they tell
it was coming? The parrots definitely acted differently. The seals were a little bit off. They don't like their lights off at certain times. So
yeah.
You could tell little nuances among some of the animals. And then the lights were completely out, so that was a bit of an issue for them. But there was a point when even we had the lights back on that the seals were like, oh, it's you, it's you eight again. Like,
yeah.
It was like, please. And they did really seem to come, they really seemed to perk up when we first started letting the public back in.
The penguins were hysterical. Like, at the window, they're like, there's people here. I think they think we just bring them in so that they can watch them.
Yeah. So that was fun. But but the animals, definitely there was some issues with them as far as, oh, I don't like it so quiet. And they seem to be doing much better too with some public around. So.
Cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
A question. Can you talk about how much water actually level-wise went through? Do you have any idea? But also, can you talk about that for a second, just start off with however much you know about it? And then also, can you talk about, do you know anything about what the breakaway walls were meant to, like, as far as, like, you've talked to us, I don't think it was on camera, though, where you were talking about the concrete. Like, talk about what stays and what breaks down and how that works. Or do you know about it enough to talk about it a little bit?
A little bit, I guess. I mean, that would be more like a...
I think what they're doing...
Oh, my God, it's awesome. But I also want you to talk real quick, if you don't mind, about... did you have communications with the police officers? Did anyone come and check on you at all?
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that. Okay.
That's a cute story.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a good one. So, about the breakaway walls... Obviously, they were built before we all came to the aquarium, but when we watched them get rebuilt so that they were ready to be breakaway walls again, what we noticed was they're made of concrete blocks. The very bottom seems to have like a rebar or some kind of a stronger structure within the concrete blocks, but then the upper part doesn't. And they were able to be painted like you would paint, because we did seal them in. But it did seem like there is, and that would be a mason, that would be someone or an engineer that you'd want to talk to, but they seem to know that just a little give and it's supposed to go. So that would be something I would encourage you to use a professional for if you're doing it that way. As far as communication with the police, our owners were in constant communication. They had actually bought a deuce and a half that they were going to come try to save us if we needed to. So we did have a plan that if it got really bad, how they would rescue us and how they would take us out of the building if they felt that our lives were in danger. They did have constant contact with the police. In fact, there was a point when we were very nervous after the water had gone through as to what was on the other side. Keep in mind, if you come to the boardwalk, the aquarium sits right on the boardwalk. The parking lot is behind there. When we were checking out the damage and what was going into the parking lot to make sure the water was going through, when we went out into the parking lot, there was sea foam falling on us like snow. So we assumed sea foam would be by the waves. So how close is the ocean to the building if sea foam is just coming down heavily on us? So we had been in contact. They had alerted the police. Now, one of the things we did, which we really think was ingenious, if we do say so ourselves, was that we have a lot of education programs at the aquarium. So we are known to have a lot of glow necklaces. For different events, whether it be Halloween or Christmas. And so hence we had cases and cases of them. And we had done this for Irene, yep. And it had worked out pretty well. So when the lights went out, we had these ready to go on our command station and broke them all up and wrapped them around some of the airline tubing that we would be running across floor. So if you're walking through quickly and you have your flashlight or headlamp or not, you at least had this illumination throughout the building. We put it on all the stairs, mm-hmm. and then we also ran it from our command center slash where we had our tents set up, down our main staircase, through our gift shop, and then out a back door. So we did make sure that before, as part of our communication plan, we knew different exits in order to leave the building. So one of our exits that we would use would be the basement. We couldn't use that because the water had gone about 4 feet high.
Yes.
It was definitely over
the
doorknob to get in. So we couldn't exit that way. Another emergency exit we have is the north end, but our generators were out there because they needed air.
And then as you went down, the telephone poles that were right in the parking lot were crossed over and the lines were down, and we knew we didn't have power, but we weren't chancing going anywhere near the wires that were down.
Right. So that was gone. The front doors were boarded up with the plywood. So a really good location to exit the building was going that high ground and then into the parking lot. So we took that and then put our glow necklaces all along the way, strapped it on the outside door, and you could follow it. And many people had to.
Yeah.
I mean, as they died, we would put more glow necklaces in their place. And that was one of the staff's checks every couple hours to, you know, replace them.
The thing is the majority of the staff knows our building like the back of our hand, and you can walk through it pretty much in the dark. But that gift shop, like, there's closed places and things. Like, so it was nice having that just...
That main aisle.
That you knew, if I follow this way, I'm not going to knock anything over and break it.
And interestingly, so the storm occurs. I mean, we lose power around 6-ish or so. The water breaks through the basement. It's hours before we're finally settling, you know, because, you know, I know we were in shock, but we wanted to go check everything, make sure generators are running. So it was like 2 a.m. or so that we're like, finally, the last of us are climbing in our tents. Not that we're going to sleep. And the SEALs kept us awake because they like to make noises at night. And I think they didn't like us sleeping on the top floor with them.
Yeah.
They're used to their own area. So they're barking and making these funny noises. And we hear men speaking. And it was kind of like, what is that? What's coming?
You
know, because it's so quiet with all the pumps off.
No filters running.
It's really quiet. And so we're listening, and these three, it turns out to be three policemen dressed as like Gordon fishermen in their yellow rain slickers and all. And you know, so they don't know where we are. We don't know who they are, but they're chatting away with each other, and we're listening to the conversation get closer and closer as they're trudging up the stairs. And it turns out they followed our glow necklaces up to our little tent area camp. And they just wanted to let us know that they were checking on us. Did we want to leave? Of course, at that point, we had gotten everything under control. And
yeah,
we were like, no, we want to stay with our animals. And
and they were like, you got pretty good here.
Yeah, they turned around. Yeah, they were looking at our little setup, and then they took off. So they did come and check on us. But it was, you know, you definitely want to make sure that they know. We did that for Irene as well. They know how many people were in the building, who those people were. It actually made us nervous that year. They wanted our driver's license numbers, and that really made us a little nervous. But we did let them know how many were staying and a way for them to get in. If you are incapacitated and can't get out, this would be a way for them to find you.
My husband was not my husband at the time, but he was not happy with me. So when I did get to communicate with him, he wasn't overly thrilled. My mother was the worst, though. She was like, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you... I'm like, I'm going to do it. And she was like, well, I don't understand. Like, the news forecast beforehand kept saying, it's going to hit right at Point Pleasant Beach. And every time they would say Point Pleasant Beach on the TV, I'm like, say Manilocan. My mom doesn't relate Manilocan to Point Pleasant Beach. And she would call. So it was just...
And it was scary. I have two children, 13 and 9, and they were having to stay with my in-laws, and they were very upset. And I did my best to not call them because they were calling and leaving messages and crying, and it was better to not. I mean, yes, in an ideal situation, I wouldn't have you know, it would probably have been better to stay home, but I had to come and I had to take care of the building. And now that we know the building is so well fortified, our joke is the next time that we'll have everybody's spouses and children coming with them, because really it was a very safe place to be in. We actually had to turn staff away. So the staff, when we were making that list, and like I said, going over who we really need. We need people who can feed animals, and we need people who can do water changes. But we had to turn down most of the staff who were all willing to stay and help out. So, you know, that was a good thing too. We got very good at making macaroni and cheese using a microwave in our bathhouse on a generator.
That had one of the plugs open. I'm like, I bet we could. The funny thing is we were, the ones that were running our Shark Tank's air had one plug left. So we kept trying to make coffee.
And we kept blowing it.
And then it was like, we just want a little coffee, but it wasn't worth not having air. So it's the Shark Tank's. But once we got that generator outside with the microwave, we had our coffee and our mac and cheese that we ate out of our paper cups with our sporks.
And we got rid of, you know, no animals died, but we also didn't have to transfer any of our animals.
Yeah,
we were proud that we could handle the collection we had, and we did well. Nobody suffered. The staff came out okay, and so we learned a lot from it. And, you know, we'll be definitely ready the next time it occurs.
That was just an awesome, awesome interview. I was so moved by the way that they are such loyal people down there. That's the assistant director, Katie Kennedy, and the director, Cindy Kloss, of the Jenkinson's Aquarium down at Point Pleasant Beach at the Jersey Shore, talking about how they protected every single one of the animals through that whole, you know, Hurricane Sandy. So that's the end of our show. It's 4:57 on June 24th. I hope you have a great week. And thanks again for listening in.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Zhohar Tsarnaev said he was sorry. The Boston Marathon bomber addressed victims and families today in court and apologized. Then he praised Allah. The victims also spoke. One woman said Tsarnaev did not succeed in his mission.
Rebecca Gregory, who lost one of her legs in the bombing, told Tsarnaev, "I am not your victim and I am not your brother's victim." She said that the attack had only made Boston and America unite.
That was AP correspondent Denise Lavoie. Also today, the judge formally sentenced Tsarnaev to death. Police in New York now believe David Sweat and Richard Matt are armed. A few days ago, the escaped killers were spotted in a cabin in the woods, and police say most cabin owners in that area have weapons, but authorities remain confident they will be captured.
Whether it ends here today in Owl's Head or whether it's an indeterminate amount of time going forward, we will resolve this case.
That was Major Charles Guess from the New York State Police. This is USA Headline News.
Want a more colorful summer? Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains during the Great Summer Painting Party, June 21st through July 6th. With colors like Beach House, Julep, and Fireworks, summer never looked better. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store and save 30% today. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Everyone knows the proper way to start your day is with a long, hot, luxurious shower. That's why we've created ProperSoap.com. We're called Proper because we're properly pure and natural, with no parabens, dyes, or harsh chemicals. 100% pure vegetable soap. We use rich shea butter and olive oil to moisturize naturally. And best of all, we think it's proper to give back. So when you shop ProperSoap.com, you're funding clean water and sanitation programs in villages across the globe. Shop ProperSoap.com and get proper.
President Obama held a press conference earlier to discuss the needs of families of hostages being held overseas. He says the U.S. will continue its policy of not paying ransom, but families have never been prosecuted for paying.
No family of an American hostage has ever been prosecuted for paying a ransom for the return of